Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And we have just had one of the great weekends of the rugby calendar, round six of the pool stages of the European Champions Cup. And it was everything we hoped it would be. Some people crying into their beers, some people popping corks of champagne into the quarterfinals. And we will get into all of that. With the usual trio that are here right now, the same three that will be there in Madrid during the Six Nations for our Tier 2 tour. More on that
sold
in a
out.
Minute.
Sold out, done, gone.
Yeah.
It's too late.
Is it?
Pretty much. Well, no, we've filled out that room, so any more...
Ah, right,
so
okay.
Any more, we have to move rooms, so I've...
I guess we are sold out then.
So, yeah, they are.
Sold. We're sold out, but still come along for the ride.
Yeah,
definitely.
Because I reckon there'll be a couple of stragglers that don't get out of bed on Sunday morning.
Well, it's going to be quite an early start, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my prediction.
Yeah,
I think you'll be able to rock up on the day. There'll be a couple of spots.
Which is great for fire safety. I mean, that's what we want.
So, as normal, I'm Tim. JB wearing his New York Jets pyjama bottoms.
This sort of get-up here is what I bought in LaGuardia Airport to sleep
in.
No,
JFK.
JFK, sorry. So sleeping on the way back from our epic trip to New York in September.
New York and Philly.
And Philadelphia. And I highly recommend that one.
I had the pleasure of sitting next to you dressed like that on a plane, on a very full plane back to Manchester Airport.
There you go.
And Phil, is you're continuing to cultivate your Elliot Daly look.
I am. It's now...
Have you run out of Cornerstone razors? Is that what's going on?
No, I'm actually going to have to tweak my subscription online because I've got a backlog of them now.
I have got a backlog of razors.
It's complete apathy and laziness, Tim. It's now at the point where it will be about an hour for me to shave this off, so I'm giving it a little bit of time.
Okay, cool. Right, well, but before we get into the Champions Cup, there's been a lot happened since our last podcast. So I'm just going to, in quick fire fashion, what we're going to do is we're going to run through a few things that have happened in the last week, going to get into some Champions Cup, then we're going to discuss international squads and the various stories around that, and I'm sure there'll be some weird tangents that we take along the way.
Always.
Standard. So, firstly, just in no particular order, Wales and Scotland are going to have an autumn international game.
Ugh. Rubbish. Terrible idea.
I think it's a terrible idea.
Garbage idea. Well done, unions. You messed that one up. I mean, what would be the point in this? There are numerous rugby nations that want to play in that test window. The whole point of the autumn tests is to look at other teams and match yourself up against either the emerging nations or the Southern Hemisphere. Pointless.
Yeah, it's just underwhelming.
Yeah.
I'd much rather see... I guess any of your Japan or Tonga or yep. Georgia, like one of the smaller nations from further afield, than two teams that we always see once a year anyway.
Exactly.
And we're going to learn not a huge amount new from it.
I'm not even too sure they'll be taking... I mean, they take every test match seriously. But why would you take this one seriously?
It just strikes me as a cash grab. They're after the money, which is a little bit depressing. I understand bills have to be paid. I do get it. I will say, however, that I think it's lovely what they've done with it. They've called it the Doddy Weir Cup, and as a lovely gesture to raise awareness. And I don't think they're going to be they might make a donation.
They will make a donation.
Yeah.
No way they're not making a donation.
No, sure, but they've called it the Doddy Weir Cup. And that's a lovely...
Hang on, I hope this isn't going to be every year now, though.
No, I don't think so. But I love the fact that we can... for the next, 8 months now, we can joke, or 9 months, we can joke around that Tier 2 competition in autumn is sorted. Wales playing Scotland.
Whee! Good.
So there's that. Bristol signed everyone.
Who have they signed?
Nine signings.
Have they?
Yeah. That all came in the same day. John Afoa, the most prominent.
Okay, so that's been on the boil for some time now, the John Afoa one.
Yeah.
Who else, Tim? Was this like the first legal day of signing or something?
No, they just made it a big weekend to announce it.
And they did these silhouetted pictures of all the players.
Saturday signing.
Oh, yes. Did someone else do this?
Oh no! Sail Sharks had a shipping container with Brian Majati in, if you remember.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Wow.
Signed up Saturday. The wrap up. Here we go. So Bristol have signed loads and loads of players.
John Afoa, Sean Moulton, Nick Sturzaker, the scrum half, the Australian scrum half, Jan Thomas, Ali Muldowney.
Jan Thomas, the prop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ali Muldowney. Yeah. Tiff Eden.
Yeah, he's good 10.
Okay.
From where?
Nottingham.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Harry Thacker.
Good.
Jake Heenan.
Yeah.
And Jordan Lay.
Wow. They really light up the Premiership with that lot.
Slightly underwhelmed. But...
Yes.
Now, Bristol fans will tell me I'm being harsh. This feels like the exact opposite to what they should be doing. I mean, they should be using the squad that they've already got, which is going to get them promoted again. And then they should be bringing through some new kids. And I know they're working very hard on their academy structures. And they are bringing through kids. But I just don't see what 8 new signings... I mean, 8 new signings is too much too quickly.
A bunch of those guys are squad players, I would
which is exactly what they don't need.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you don't want.
I mean, they've got surely a 40-man squad in the Championship, most of whom will be decent Premiership squad players.
Yeah.
So do you need to add more...
I tell you what, it is squad players that get in the way of kids.
A couple of good signings that will be frontline players. As you heard here before, anywhere else, fact, Alex Lewington is confirmed as a signing for Saracens.
Good signing.
Nathan Earl has confirmed he's going to Quins.
Hmm. Not a bad signing. It doesn't really excite me.
No. And a little alarm bell going off that Sarries didn't want him. Bearing in mind, I mean, they haven't got rid of Nathan Earle to get in Alex Lewington because Saracens are also bringing in David Strettel.
Are they?
I have seen that.
He's out of contract, and the rumor that's flying around is potentially David Strettel could be moving back to Saracens. Hmm. Which, yeah. Anyway, England's Nathan Earle.
Hang on. Yeah. So, undoubtedly, England like Saracens players, don't they? Because, well, they've got an ex-Saracens coach there. Eddie Jones was a Saracen himself at one point.
Yeah.
And as I've said on the podcast earlier on, in previous episodes, Saracens, their success papers over any perceived cracks there are in England, which is why English people should be very worried about Saracens looking as exhausted as they are. Now, undoubtedly, Nathan Earle's prominence or rise to prominence to the England team has come because he's with Saracens. Would Nathan Earle be picked if he was with London Irish?
No.
Right. So why on earth did they cut out the middleman and just go straight to Alex Lewington? Because Alex Lewington must be surely in consideration for England if he's playing at Saracens.
More on that in a little bit.
Okay.
In a little bit. Elsewhere.
Have we got a structure?
Dan Bigger waiting on an injury report to his shoulder. Rhys Priestland also looking out with a hamstring. Possibly Wales without two key fly halves for the Six Nations.
How about giving Dan Jones a run? If he's Welsh, I hope he is. I'm sure he is.
Yeah, Patrell's been doing a job at fullback as well.
Yeah.
Scarlett's looking good. So there. Mathieu Bastereau got a 3-week ban.
Yeah. Did you see some of the excuses they rolled out?
I saw Bujalal. He's now being investigated himself.
Yeah, I'm not surprised after what he said, to be honest.
So, what's been said now?
Bujalal said something like, it doesn't mean what you think it means. You shouldn't take it literally.
It's commonplace. I'm not homophobic. Sounded a little bit like Trump. I'm the least... He didn't say this, but he sounded a bit like Trump going, I'm the least homophobic person you know.
Do you know what?
And I've used that word.
He also said...
He might be right, though. You know, saying a homophobic thing isn't the same as being homophobic.
No, no. Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. He says it's common. It's a common. It's in common usage.
He also said something like, "If I call you a mother Hubbard,
yeah.
it doesn't mean I literally think that you sleep with your mother."
That is a fair point.
Which is quite an interesting way.
Also,
but it's like, you're supposed to be getting yourself out of trouble, not getting yourself into more trouble by saying
it's
that.
It's also very derogatory to those that practice incest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
how would they come forward?
There's no defence for that word. He got a ban.
About the right level.
There's a huge amount of outrage that it should have been more.
The outrage was outrageous. I mean, this is the bit which I can't quite get my head around.
I know what you're saying. I know what you mean, and I'm with you.
How about this, right? One guy gets called a naughty name, and this is bad. We can all agree it's bad. Okay, we've done that bit now. And another guy gets a ban because he caused a concussion, otherwise known as a brain injury, to another man. And somehow they think that the naughty word is worse than the brain injury. And I'm thinking, it's just perverse.
Well, let's not conflate the two.
Exactly. They're not linked. They're not linked. And people were outraged on Twitter. Maybe my favourite bit of Twitter outrage over this whole thing was a certain... shall we go into this? A certain BT Sports contributor who
he contributes to multiple different broadcasters.
Do you know what?
Was quite funny. It's quite ironic.
If you want to,
his heart is in the right place.
Yes.
You know, and in the past, he said it. Guess what? Just like Bastro said it, I understand exactly where he's coming from, and he's in the right to call Bastro out for it. But it just shows the dangers of being too virtuous.
I think that's quite enough on that topic.
Yeah.
I think we've already done it to death.
Yeah, so anyway, that rumbles on with Bouzelal now.
Didn't he actually say something about the Welsh and the Irish clubs about being virtuous?
Yeah, that's the bit I think that's been picked up on.
I did like that.
what else is there? The Quinn's coaching staff have extended their stay.
Way! What, all of them?
Reward for...
They've had some brilliant wins this season. They've had some tremendous wins this season.
Yeah.
They've also had some awful losses, and as we've said before, the most Quinsy thing to do is have a brilliant win followed up by a terrible loss, or a terrible loss followed up by a brilliant win that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, I hope, because they're good guys. I hope that the three whose contracts have been extended by 2 years, John Kingston, Graham Rowntree, Mark Mapletoft, I hope they do lead Quinns out of this mediocrity. Well, it's not mediocrity.
It's inconsistency.
Yeah.
Well, if they can be consistent, they'll be challenging top four. Because on their day, they can beat almost anyone.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, you've kind of got to be cruel to be kind here. You're absolutely right about John Kingston, and actually all the people that you mentioned there has been good people, but maybe everyone benefits from a change of scenery. And I think they've just got stale and they need to go. And that's, you know, they've got six, maybe not need to go, they all need to be reviewed, along with some of the senior players too.
Well, clearly everything is being reviewed currently, so there we go.
Yeah, but they're coming to the wrong conclusions.
We'll do the international squads, because England, Wales, Ireland, Scotland named their squads as well. All the home nations have named their international squads for the upcoming Six Nations. We'll get into that in a little bit. And I imagine JB's phrase, downfall 2018, might get brought up.
I imagine it will be.
But let's talk Champions Cup rugby then. Round six. We know the quarterfinals. We know who got out of their pools. We know who's licking and their wounds. And who's celebrating progressing right now. How do you want to do this? Should we just break down
pool by pool?
Pool by pool, yeah, let's do that.
Starting from the top, rather than going in chronological order, should we start in pool one?
Go on.
Because I want to get it out of the way. This is La Rochelle's pool, the pool that Ulster topped until 3 p.m. today.
They really threw it away, didn't they?
Ugh.
I mean, I didn't actually watch all of this game. I saw the very start of it and the very end of it. Why? How?
Well, it's a dreadful game to start off with.
Mm-hmm.
Dreadful conditions, but both teams are playing in dreadful conditions. And it's two of the worst teams to play in this kind of conditions. It was very, very greasy. The pitch was really boggy. And two very good back lines weren't able to do anything. They're just continually knocking the ball on. But Wasps fared a bit better in the conditions. They didn't try and play too much. Oh, well, they did start off trying to play some attacking rugby and very quickly realised they could not get it outside the 13 channel. They just could not catch the ball outside the 13 channel because by the time it was getting out there, it was so slow. Every pass was like behind or up in the air. And it just, the game kind of broke down.
Yeah.
But Wasps had nothing to fight for. Like, Wasps needed a miracle.
And they needed Harlequins win.
Yeah.
Which they know full well can happen, even when Harlequins have got nothing to play for. So maybe there was something on that.
Yeah.
And then they needed to beat Ulster by a bonus point, and they knew they could do that.
Yeah.
Ulster.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got everything, well, except for a 10, whose future looks bleak, and a pack.
Yeah.
And you really... Yeah. I don't know where you're going to get these forwards from.
They've got kind of two outstanding forwards, and then everyone else is just making up the numbers, it feels like.
You think what's his name will make a big difference next year? They've got a lad from Leinster coming over.
Murphy.
No.
Jordy Murphy. No, because he's not the kind of player they need.
Do they need?
They need... Well, they need what they've got two of, which is a big ball-carrying number eight.
Okay.
But they can't get either of those... to on the pitch.
They're the Quins of the Pro 14. They could be great.
I tell you what, Quins had a real hard on with that Bothma going down, because he had a few games.
No, he wasn't a first. No, he's not. What? He's a seriously good ball carrier.
He's another the same as Luamanu. Nah. It feels like he's a big lad,
huge.
He'll carry. No. But he's nothing special.
I think
he's really good.
He's a squad player. It's nothing.
I've not seen him.
We're getting into.
You've not seen him.
We're talking about their.
They got 50 points put on him.
I thought he played really well.
Okay.
You'd had one more beer than me, then. Maybe a few more beers than me.
But let's give Wasps a little bit of credit. Bearing in mind, you know, JB's scathing criticism over recent years saying they're a one trick pony, Danny Cipriani. That was conditions where you can't win a bonus point win with just a mercurial 10 talent. They actually had to do something. They dug in. Their forwards were good.
Their forwards were better. I don't want to say good because Ulster were so bad. But their forwards were better, and you can only beat what's in front of you.
I think both these teams were so disappointing. We shouldn't give them too much airtime on the podcast.
Agreed.
They didn't make the quarterfinals, and they had it there to get there.
And La Rochelle, someone tweeted in their first three games they scored 130 points, round numbers, 130 points. In their second three games, they scored 30 points. So La Rochelle went from one of the brightest hopes in the competition.
Well, your favourite to win the competition at one point.
Yeah, after round three, they were.
Well, I guess get all the heavy lifting done early.
Yeah. So La Rochelle go through. And on balance, they probably deserved it. Well, they did deserve it more than Wasps and Ulster.
And we've said it before, if I could have one player in the Avicii Premiership, it would be Bottier.
Bottier's class.
Love that guy.
Bottier is brilliant.
And it's do you know what? It's nice to see with La Rochelle going through from this pool and then some of the other teams that are going through, and in the case of Glasgow, one team that picked up a really important win, which we'll get onto. It's nice to see really attacking rugby come into the fore a little bit.
Yeah.
And teams are able to progress playing that kind of rugby, which I liked.
Hmm.
So, yeah, well done, La Rochelle. No runner-up from this pool. It was if pool three was the pool of death, which was coming to, pool one was kind of the pool of mediocrity, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Really.
By the end of it, definitely.
Yeah.
The pool of just being underwhelming.
Yeah.
Then.
JB, you all right there, mate?
Yeah, I'm just trying to work out what's going on with my Wi-Fi. Go on.
That's all right. A couple of comments on... we've had Hobbit feet. People are glad to see your hobbit feet back on video.
Exactly. Oh, well, they're not seeing anything on video at the moment.
Showing a bit of leg.
Yep, that's right. That's why I'm so relaxed in my current pose, because we're off the old Facebook Live, annoyingly.
Okay. Right, pool two.
Pool two. This was Saracens, Ospreys, Northampton and Clermont.
Which turned into a far more competitive pool than anyone ever actually imagined it would be.
Well, Ospreys, going into this... Well, going into the Champions Cup, had won pretty much nothing.
They were a laughingstock.
And then performed admirably.
So, there's this thing, right, about American presidents, and actually a lot of world leaders, where they have such a hard time at home, they go and do things abroad because it eases the pressure.
Yeah, okay.
And I wonder if for the Ospreys, it's a similar sort of thing. Which they hate the Pro 14 so much and they're so bad at it that Europe was their, you know, their little outlet.
I don't know. I might be talking complete nonsense here.
Oh, yes.
But a lot of the Pro 14 clubs seem to have found the right balance between playing their best players or not playing their best players in the Pro 14 and having the wider squad.
Yes.
To playing their best, their strongest possible team in the European Champions Cup. It's something that Leinster and Munster in particular,
well,
and Scarlets
are very fortunate, because when they play their so-called lesser players, the intensity and the effort almost goes up because everyone is fighting for that first team spot.
Yeah.
They are actual backups in the real sense of the word, whereas when someone else rotates, like Ospreys, it's, you know, you're bringing in kids. You're not bringing in bona fide first team players.
Well, so there are three Pro 14 teams with home quarterfinals, which is pretty impressive. One of each team snuck in as the lowest ranked qualifier.
Yeah, tell you what, that's some reward, isn't it, for being
well done,
one
you've
seat.
Won 6 out of 6.
Here's Saracens.
In supposedly the pool of death, you've won 6 out of 6. Well done. Have the double European champions.
Yeah. I wouldn't fancy that one.
No. But I was chatting to my brother about this one, and he said, I think it's relegation. I think, or lack of. Because you look at the way that Glasgow Scarlets actually play rugby, and Leinster as well to a degree, they play a more mixed, balanced power game as well. They have that confidence to play that really much higher risk, much higher reward offloading game, because they don't have the spectre of relegation. They also can develop those younger players into regular squad players and rotate them in because they don't have the spectre of relegation in their domestic
leagues.
I
think there's definitely something in that.
And there is.
And the Times, actually, just to over the weekend, published a bit of information, some stats, which Phil will love. Have you seen this?
I've seen this, yeah.
Yeah. The stats of minutes played in domestic leagues this season so far, not Champions Cup, just the domestic league, Pro 14 or Avicii, by British and Irish Lions players. So, Courtney Laws, for example, has played double the game time of Ian Henderson, who was the most used, who is the most used Irishman in domestic rugby. Ireland have nine out of the 16 least used Lions.
Sam Warburton's been pretty sparsely used.
The top 10 used players that were in the British and Irish Lions squad are all England players.
Yeah. It shows.
And you have to go down 21 places to find an Irish player.
Yeah,
really. Out of the 35 people that were in the British and Irish Lions squad or whatever it was.
Staggering.
Yep. Now, have you seen... So, it makes very interesting reading that. Have you seen Russ Petty, who's a rugby statistician on Twitter? He's done some further analysis of this, which actually breaks that playing time down into how much is in domestic, so Avicii and top 14... Avicii top 14 and Pro 14, and how much is in European as a percentage of the available time. So Ian Henderson has played 40% of the available Pro 12, Pro 14 minutes. Mm-hmm. He has played 100% of the available European Champions Cup minutes. CJ Stander, exactly the same, 38% in the Pro 14, 100% in the European. Conor Murray, 35% in the Pro 14, 98% in the European Champions Cup. So they're clearly their squads. So I think it's partly the relegation. It's also partly the fact that there are in that league there are 7 very good teams. There are 7 pretty poor teams, and against the good teams they'll play their strongest team. That's why you're seeing guys playing 40% of the time. Against the weaker, they can rotate. They can play their younger players, and they can build a bigger squad. So it is, and part of it's promotion relegation, part of it is the disparity that exists within that league.
And the average Premiership minutes of English, British and Irish Lions is double that of Pro 14 minutes by Irish, British and Irish Lions.
Yeah.
So there's a potential before, you know, understandably, Pro 14 fans that might have listened to us go on about the Avicii Premiership best best league. I'm not going to move from that opinion, I do think the Pro 14 sides that have qualified for the Champions Cup quarterfinals are outstanding rugby sides.
Yeah.
And there's no argument there. But there's a potential explanation why, when it comes down to the fine margins, Exeter haven't managed to get through, or maybe another. I mean, it has been, or equally, it has been a weird year for the Avicii.
I completely agree. I think the other thing which the Pro 14 teams have learned to do is actually take advantage of the non-relegation promotion situation. And they are all now starting to behave a little bit more like sort of like New Zealand franchises. So, and you can see the actual direct impact of people like Pivock, who is a New Zealander himself. You've obviously got all of the influence in the WRU, and also Glasgow. Glasgow are another side that have turned to this almost like New Zealand style model. So there is a mix of things which is leading to this Pro 14 success, and it's good. And the rugby they're producing is probably even better.
Oh, they're playing some brilliant rugby. I don't want, just thinking back of what we just said there, it could potentially sound a bit like, I don't know, sour grapes. We're being possibly a bit negative on the Pro 14.
No.
I don't think it is that at all. I think it's...
Let's be clear. The Southern Kings would be out and relegated already, probably, in the Avicii Premiership.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Dragons.
They'd be gone. So that's, and the Dragons.
And Treviso. Well, not Treviso. They're very good, actually. Zebre. They'd be gone.
Zebre. So linking to what you've said already and what JB said, the highs, the top sides are outstanding.
Cardiff would...
The bottom sides are poor.
Cardiff, as a squad, would 100% get relegated from the Aviva.
Yeah. I would have thought so.
Yeah. They're awful. there you go.
So, Pool 2 finished up with... Saracens, again, we talked about it last week, Northampton, when it looks like they're gathering a bit of momentum.
Yeah.
Getting back on the rails, wallop.
Every time.
Have Sarries in your face.
Sarries just demoralise them, continually demoralise them.
Yeah, this was Sarries back to their best. They knew they had to score points to have any chance. They knew it was out of their hands, because if Ulster had won, Sarries are out. But they did enough. Now, Sarries, interestingly, so they qualified eighth. They are the only team to qualify with three wins. Okay. Everyone else has got four or more wins, which means everyone else has won away at least once. Saracens have won away once, but they lost at home to Clermont. But Saracens have got the best points for in the entire competition.
Well, that's because they played Northampton twice.
That is because they played Northampton twice. But Toulon and Bath played Benetton twice.
Benetton, I mean, I'm not just saying this for comic effect. They're actually quite a gritty team.
Oh, let's not even talk about them. They finished bottom of their pool. We're talking about the Champions Cup.
This is
what was in my mind when I was watching Northampton. Oh, sorry. When I was watching Northampton. Do you remember that bit from Karate Kid? Get him a body bag. It's over, man. It's over. Yeah. They are done.
Yeah, pretty much. Just going back to Benetton, just remember, they were two minutes away from... How do you know you don't care if you're
beating Scarlets and also from beating Toulon?
Scarlets, Toulon. I mean, as great as Scarlets are, it all could have been ended in Parky Scarlets by Treviso.
Well, they also finished absolute bottom and scored the fewest points in the entire competition.
Well, yeah, but they are improving.
They are improving. I'll give them that.
And we're on pool two anyway.
We are on pool two.
So Saracens completely dominated. Looked like Saracens again. That new in the rugby in our rugby fantasy rugby draft, we might all be jostling for position to try and get that new Saracens number 8.
Yeah,
he looked quite handy.
The Tongan lad, young Tongan lad.
Begins with a V.
Who's this?
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Jay. Vunipola.
Vunipola, okay. Young Tongan lad, Vunipola.
Cool. Yeah, I'll sign him.
And Clermont did what they needed to do.
I think Clermont are going out next round.
Again, Osprey, I think back to
going
that.
Going out?
Yeah, I do.
Home quarter final?
Yeah.
I think back to Ospreys at home with the ball. What? Just go for the jugular.
Yeah.
But just it's easy to say that now, but
they must be kicking. They must be kicking Reece Webb for kicking the ball out.
Yeah. No, they were celebrating like even in the post match interview that I had with Justin Tipperick, the man of the match. He used the phrase. He, you know, it was like a Freudian slip, but it was it demonstrated the mentality. Potentially, he said, "Oh, the big forward effort got us that win." So they were thinking of it like it was a real huge positive. What a bonus! No one expected us to. Everyone expected us to lose to Saracens, and we've drawn with them.
Is such a disappointing mentality.
Yeah, agreed. Well, it's Ospreys for you. Yeah, Reece Webb as well. I mean, to think he had the Saracens line at sixes and sevens, he's thrown a dummy. You know, they look like they're going somewhere, and they've had success against Saracens pretty much all game, and done bigger can kick from anywhere.
And Saracens were shattered.
Yeah.
Then they had two hookers on the pitch, and Jamie George playing in the back row. Yeah.
Pool three's interesting. Pool three was tasty. The pool of death.
We got this wrong as well.
We did.
Big time.
For Leinster to go through this pool, six wins is phenomenal.
Yes, it is.
Six wins and exit to Saracens in the quarters is devastating, isn't it? If they don't beat Saracens, it'll mean nothing. If they beat Saracens, I think they do the whole thing.
Probably. If they beat Saracens, they are clear favourites.
Yeah, their finals come early.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a good win for Leinster over in Montpellier.
Mm-hmm.
They ground that out. But the big talking point here is Exeter, knowing a win will take them through, going to Glasgow, who had not won a game, were completely out of it, were only playing for pride, and Exeter were blown off the park.
Right.
They were, what was it, 27-7?
Yeah.
So, until Exeter made it respectable.
If I'm right, and I suspect I'm wrong here, last week, Glasgow played a team with, what, three scrum halves in it?
Glasgow played a weakened team last week.
Right. It wasn't Glasgow with their internationals.
So riddle me this, then. Why do teams do this? So Tigers did it, and Glasgow have done it, which is they played a weakened team away, and then they put all their stars out at home. Now, I can kind of see Glasgow.
For the fans. It's pride at home, and your fans who are paying the season ticket, they want to see. They want to see Stuart Hogg, they want to see Seymour and everyone else.
I mean, that's very rich, though, from a Pro 12 team, because 14 team, because they don't do that in the Pro 14. So why they do it on a game that doesn't matter is beyond. I mean,
that is why Leicester did it.
Yeah. So the last one makes more sense to me than the Glasgow one. But then what about the fans that travelled all the way to Cast?
Yeah.
It was a full house at Glasgow, including Exeter fans. And, yeah, there was only one man in the back line that remained from last week's game, and that was Hugh Jones. Everyone else were international calibre and into the side.
Drop back in.
And Stuart Hogg's like he's never been away.
Yeah, Stuart Hogg looked sharp, didn't he?
Yeah.
Looked really sharp. Every time I see Stuart Hogg come back from an injury, or like if I've not seen him for a while, I don't know why, but I always have this perception that he's going to be a yard off the pace.
No.
Definitely not. Yeah. He doesn't look like he should be anywhere near as good as he is.
No. Or as fast as he is.
Yeah. He's so fast. He's so sharp.
He always looks like he's carrying just a couple of extra pounds.
Yeah. He looks like a scaffolder.
Yes,
he's probably
he does.
Not quite. He's
very
not,
scaffoldy.
Not quite the weight of a scaffold.
Scaffoldy.
He does. He does look like he should be.
Him and Gary Graham
throwing scaffolds. Yeah.
Very, very disappointing for Exeter Chiefs.
Yes.
Hang on. Who has a scaffold company? Which professional rugby player? Little trivia quiz for you, though.
Steve Diamond has a construction company.
He does. Diamond Construction. And who is a professional rugby player who has a scaffolding company? Come on, boys.
Well, Liam Williams.
He used to be a scaffolder.
He used to be a scaffolder. I don't know whether he had his own business.
Someone has got a scaffolding company. Come on.
I have. Surely it's someone South Walian.
Do you know what? You're not far off. It isn't someone South Walian, but someone with strong South Walian links.
The Vunipolas.
Nope. Played in Wales. Now plays in England. Is English.
Ross Moriarty. No.
He's English, so yeah.
Oh yeah, he's English.
And he make a great scaffolder.
Sam Underhill.
English.
Nope. Ready?
I've no idea.
Thomas Francis.
Ben Morgan has a scaffolding company.
Does he?
Does he?
Yes, he does.
Wow. Fair play.
Right, I want to dig into this. Rugby player businesses.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's some crack. I mean, most of them are coffee brands.
Yes.
Yes.
But there are also some other people.
Interesting, or the more kind of normal, the better.
Not like built on companies, coffee brands.
We don't coffee or...
Or brewers.
Yeah, none of that.
Personal training or fitness books, James Haskell. Or
none
supplements, James Haskell.
None of that.
Or DJing, James Haskell.
DJing, that would be the interesting one. DJing, well, yes.
There's a lot. Autorac does some DJing.
Proper Church.
Church, yeah.
Keane Healy does some DJing.
I think Mullet-Dickey.
James Haskell's got a DJ agent.
Wow.
Yeah, he gets booked for things, though.
Oh, I know who the agent are, because they're some of my friends are... I know who they are.
There we go.
Yes, so Exeter will be very disappointed. From now on, by the way, and we'll get onto the England squad in just a little bit, but whenever we refer to the Exeter Chiefs number 7 from Saturday, we will now refer to him in protest of his non-selection for international. We will now refer to him as Non-Armand.
Non-Armand.
Until we will only not call him Non-Armand when he's finally, which will never happen, selected by Eddie Jones.
So I chatted to Non-Armand this week.
Non-Armand.
Non-Armand for Rugby Dungeon.
I've not listened yet. Was he good?
He is. Very interesting. You know, there is a certain mentality you get from the Chiefs, and he fits up like perfectly. You know, in the same way that Gareth Steenson did. Just a really well-rounded... individual. They all seem to be cut in the same sort of mould, and I think that must be something that what's his name?
Baxter looks for. I think it's
like a certain humbleness.
I think he looks for it, and I think having seen many an interview, I know Tim, you've had the pleasure of interviewing Baxter many times. Having seen him speak repeatedly, it's something that I'm sure will rub off from Baxter onto the players because he just exudes that. That rugby mentality, that slightly humble in the most real sense, not the sweeping a changing room with a broom backwards sense.
Look at me doing this. Yeah,
yeah. It's doing it for the right reasons rather than people looking at you.
Yeah,
reasons.
So if you ask anyone, I don't know if it's how the media train or what, but it's always focused on the improvement and what they can do to improve.
Yeah,
which
always
impresses me.
So for example, in the Glasgow game, I think I would have been upset if I was Rob Baxter about the yellow card penalty try.
The Nick White.
On Nick White.
That looked... It's just the...
14 points were scored by Glasgow afterwards.
Yeah.
But we can talk about the incident, but Rob Baxter's response was, I've spoken to the referee. It's a bit confusing, but to be honest, I don't want to focus on that because there was much more that we could control and we should never be in a position where that sort of a decision costs us, and that
he's right.
Like, amazing. And also on the England thing, I said to him before the game, you know, you got five Chiefs in the. I didn't say Chiefs. You got five Chiefs in the England squad, which is brilliant. But I'm sure there's several more involved today that will feel they've got a point to prove, and will be disappointed. And he said, they're playing for Exeter. That means you should be expecting to be considered for your national team. You're playing for Exeter, so absolutely go out there and make a statement.
You're playing for the champions of England.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's great. I love it. You're right. He's brilliant. He's great mentality.
So I think he picks the players who have it in them anyway. I'm sure he brings it out even more because of the way he conducts himself.
How the hell did he know? I mean, this is what I couldn't get really from the interview. How did he know about Non-Armand? I mean, he had a handful of Stormers games. And now he's pushing. He's probably the best back row in the Premiership. Or, you know, he's top five.
Yeah.
Or as our friend CJ would say, he's in the conversation.
He loves saying that doesn't he?
I wish he'd stop saying it, actually. So how did he know? Or does he just create these great players? I love what they've done with Kvesic too. So they basically hid him so everyone has forgot what Kvesic is like. And then they're going to reintroduce him.
And said grow a beard as well.
Yeah,
shave your head.
Shave your head, grow a beard.
How good does he look with a shaved head and beard? He looks nails.
Still got great quads.
He looks like that, what's the name of the dwarf in Lord of the Rings?
Oh, good.
Gimli,
yeah.
He does look like a dwarf, actually. A warrior dwarf. And then they bring him back, and now he's got that Exeter sort of taint paint room. rather than the Gloucester stink, he's got the edge of the tank. And so when he cheeks at Rux, it was, no, he knows what he's doing. He's well coached. They know exactly what they're doing here.
So, yellow card penalty try for you or not?
No.
Because that was a huge decision. It cost the 7 points for Exeter then, which Glasgow may have got anyway, but then 14 points coming straight afterwards in quick succession.
For me, definitely not. He was wrapping his arms trying to make the tackle. It was unfortunate, but it was in the process of the tackle, is my view.
I couldn't agree more. Interesting, you know, different people have had different opinions. I saw Brian O'Driscoll on the BT Sport highlight show say he thinks Romain Poit got it right, and that you know, players will try and put the hand out and make it look like they're tackling when actually they're trying to knock the ball on. But I just don't think that was.
It happened so fast, yeah. And there is.
I mean, Brian O'Driscoll's played a slightly higher level than us, so maybe he would know.
And he does see things. He's one of the best brains in rugby, but I just can't.
That, I do not believe anyone tries to disguise a knock on.
That happened so fast. I firmly believe that Nick White did not know whether the ball had left his hand or was still in his hands because it was so fast. He can't have consciously known the ball will be released, therefore I will put my arm there. He just tried to take man on ball.
And yes, they would have scored if the pass had gone to hand.
It would have done, but it wasn't the important point. I don't believe it was a deliberate knock on.
No.
It was a knock on, but it wasn't a deliberate knock on.
So just me with a bit of a stream of consciousness now.
What else do you have? What else do you bring to the table,
Jay?
What else do you
have? Great shout. Glasgow, what do you think they're going to do next year without Finn Russell? How do they move this thing forward?
So are they bringing... Because they've got Peter Horn there,
yep,
who's not a bad player. Are they bringing anyone in?
Rory Jackson, Adam Hastings and Peter Horn.
So Jackson's been playing 15 a bit while...
They use Jackson a lot, don't they? In doing a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So they've got Jackson. Who else?
Hastings.
He's
training with the Scotland squad.
Yeah.
Was he the Hastings who was at Bath?
Bath.
Same one. It wasn't so good last time I saw him play.
Yeah, but I think
awful game last time I saw him play.
I'm pretty sure he was there the game I was when they played Wasps last year. He started and he had a torrid time.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to do what they did with Finn Russell and go out into the clubs and try and pick someone up and develop them. Finn Russell was playing like level, you know, some stupidly low level rugby before he came into Glasgow. So they've got to have some sort of plan afoot there because I don't know if you know this, but you need a 10.
They got three fly-offs in their squad, but it will be interesting to watch. But they did turn on the style. I think Rob Baxter is right to point out that Exeter had much more they could control than a referee could control, and they should have taken care of business themselves. But that decision was critical.
I'd be fearful now if I was playing them in the Premiership.
Well, we've got a few weeks to wait.
Yeah.
It's Anglo-Welsh next week.
Woo!
Yeah!
Right.
So well done to Leinster, and that's that for this pool.
Yeah, the only escapee from this pool, which does show just how tough it was, how strong it was.
Yeah, it is. When you look at two coming out of the pool with Benetton in, I'm glad they've rectified that. You have to qualify. That was the case already. Did Benetton qualify? No, they didn't qualify. There had to be one Italian side.
Yeah, so
they've got rid of that.
Yeah, previously you'd have Benetton and Zebre. So when you had the 24 teams and the... or was it 24? Yeah, 24 teams and the six pools, you always had two pools that were kind of always going to get the two runners-up from.
Yeah.
And Treviso weren't actually that bad this year. It was the best version of Treviso for years.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They are still the weakest team in the comp. That's pool three then.
Yeah.
Pool four, which was Leicester's pool with Cast, Racing and Munster.
Some awful games. Some awful matchups. Yeah. What can you say? The snow was a great level. I just don't understand what Leicester were thinking. Their behaviour as a club over the last 2 weeks has been baffling to me, and it's also been demoralising to the entire squad. So, you know, you put out your reserves and you hope to get a reaction and someone at least put their hand up for first team selection. None of that happened.
Get smashed 39-0, was it?
Yeah, and then so you get rid of them all and you bring in the first team, and the first team get beat handily, and they're talking about pride, well, and they're playing in front of like an relatively empty stadium. By their standards,
it was 18,000 there, which is the same.
18,000,
I think so, which is the same as there was in round one.
Well, if there's 18,000 there, I take it back. But it looked like there's a lot of empty seats to me.
And Leicester, they started poorly, conceding those two tries. Mm. I was listening to this when I was driving in the snow from Peterborough back to Manchester. They conceded those two tries, and then after that, they actually got their acting gear.
Yeah,
they actually turned it round. Now, it was interesting. So, again, I was listening to this, not watching it. The decisions in the last few minutes where Leicester were camped on Racine's line, got a couple of penalties, could have slotted the three for the draw, but chose not to and ended up losing, which meant that Racine went through.
Instead of... Who would have gone through had Leicester taken 3 points?
Who else got 80? So Racing finished on 19. Saracens made it through. So it would have been Wasps, I guess. And yeah?
Racing would have dropped back 2 points. Right? They got 4 points in this game.
Yeah, so Racing would have been level. And then it goes with to Wasps. Points. So Wasps, whose points difference is better than Racing's.
There you go. That makes that, perfect sense.
Actually, now,
what Leicester fan would have been happy with a draw to send Wasps through?
So yeah,
no chance.
Even though, yeah, it's a good point actually.
I worry for that club because they're still the greatest club in England.
They're still the best fan base.
Yeah,
they have the best history, which we can't take away from them. But recent history,
dreadful. I mean. They're currently eighth in the Premiership. They're not meant to be just competing, like being competitive in Europe. They're meant to be aiming to win the thing. You know, this is Leicester Tigers. They're meant to be aiming to win the Premiership.
And their
eighth
last
in the Premiership, dead last in the table.
Their last 2 years in Europe have been awful, awful.
At this point, is any Tigers fan saying, "Thank God we sacked Richard Cockerill"?
And thank God we gave Aaron Major 6 weeks and then sacked
two games
him.
And binned him off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it is, the more that this goes on, I don't even blame Matt O'Connor, really. I blame, basically, Cohen. And I also think that, I mean, the way they're selecting their players and bringing them in is bizarre. I mean, the head coach doesn't do it. Someone on the board does. So, there's all sorts of weird things going on there. I think they, like Quinns, need to have a full and frank review of everything.
But the other game in this pool was a fairly easy victory, delayed victory because of the rain for Munster, who hammered Cast 48-3.
Yep.
And
is that what it was in the end?
That's what it was in the end.
Oh, good God.
Munster, who have been one of the best teams, who've booked themselves a home quarterfinal against Toulon, which I don't think they'll fear. And they've also, so they've gone through with the most parsimonious, stingy defence in the entire competition. They've conceded the fewest points in the group stages.
They have also gone through with one of the best Twitter accounts of any rugby club.
Oh.
And I learnt this on Friday night, or was it on Saturday? I can't remember what day is it today. Sunday. I think it was Saturday. Whenever it was that Munster had Ospreys in the British and Irish Cup.
Okay.
They handed over their Twitter account to Sam Arnold.
Their centre.
Who was live tweeting about the Munster A versus Ospreys A British and Irish Cup match. I've written down a selection of his tweets. First one here. Outstanding work rate from Stephen Fitzgerald, more commonly known as Turnip due to his strangely shaped head. Tracking back to prevent an Osprey score, 7-0. Then later on, Turnip head Fitzgerald applying the pressure, second half is underway. 61 minutes, Sprout Fitzgerald is on, the younger of the root vegetable Fitzgerald family. And 79 minutes, A chant of Allez la Turnip rings out as Fitzgerald makes a cracking half break. That was just a selection of some of the battles. I think that's a great idea for Anglo-Welsh Cups. English clubs, hand your Twitter account over to a first teamer.
Definitely.
And let them take the mickey. Be brilliant.
Get hold of a Twitter account.
Well, no one at Wasps other than Haskell is getting a look in, are they?
No, they're not. that is fair.
Freddie Burns strikes me as having quite a good sense of humour. I bet he'd be good at it at Bath.
He's normally quite good fun on his Instagram.
I think I'd hand out for sale. I'd hand out the password to Yard, Denny, and O'Connor.
They'd live tweet the first half. Half time, they'd be on a taxi into town. Second half, they'd be live tweeting their night out.
And then JJ will be joining them later on to pour some champagne on the floor.
Who else would they be? That's actually not a bad idea, Tim.
Yeah, I quite like that.
I like the way you say that's not a bad idea instead of that's a really good idea, Tim.
that's not a bad idea.
It's a really good idea, Munster, who did it.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
So, Avicii sides, Welsh sides, take note. Anglo-Welsh Cup this weekend, get it done.
Yeah, do you follow any rugby teams on Snapchat?
I don't. I haven't done Snapchat. I don't do Snapchat.
Yeah,
I have got Snapchat because you know I've got it because the guys in green and gold decided to use Snapchat for something.
Okay,
so then, and also the England banner had. I just don't understand how a rugby team communicates with people via Snapchat.
The only time I take it back. I did have Snapchat for a short while, and all it ended up being was friends of mine sending pictures of the poo they'd just had.
That's disgusting. That was the only kind, that was the sort of the one thread
of messages that I remember.
I knew I didn't have Snapchat for, well, I thought it was several reasons, but now there's one clear reason that tops them all.
So
well done Munster.
Yeah,
because Munster have looked pretty handy. And they're going to this with some confidence.
Shall we pause at pool three?
Pool four, that is.
That was pool four. Oh, we've only got one more to go then. Let's get through pool five as well.
Let's do.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So pool five was, there were lots of different permutations of this pool, but probably the best, well, maybe the best one. I'm a bit disappointed to see Bath didn't make it through. They probably only have themselves to blame
100%
for not getting that bonus point at home
against a very good Treviso side.
Against
gritty Treviso
against
side.
A very gritty Treviso side, Benetton side.
Benetton rugby.
Yeah. But Scarlets have been, they've produced a couple of the best performances of the tournament, and their win against Toulon to win, it was a point in the end, wasn't it?
Yes.
That is a mighty fine victory. No matter what you say about Toulon, they are littered with stars and enormous stars
so,
as well.
It's interesting. I looked at this team yesterday when they were coming out. I was like, you say they were littered with stars. Not so much, actually. I mean, you know, the scrum half is basically, you know, a guy who got well, he's a bit rebels, and then he got relegated from the Premiership. They had Radrada, who is not really a rugby union player, was playing in the centre. He did all right. I mean,
he did all right.
Very well, actually. But I suspect he's a better fit for that game than Bastro would have been.
They are stars. You had 100 cap World Cup winner Ma Nonu, but they are stars. But what I don't understand is, Like, what has happened? For example, what has happened to Samu Manoa? Like, he was... I remember him being the most destructive ball carrier in the Avicii Premiership.
Big hitter as well.
Unplayable. I don't know what it is. Well, actually, I was going to say, I don't know what it is about the strength and conditioning in Toulon. I don't know if there is any strength and conditioning in Toulon, and therefore, he just looked completely ineffective when he came on.
He is not necessarily the best professional on earth. There is that. And also, he's actually quite old now. I mean, I think he might be 33.
Yeah, see, that's not old.
For a second row back row.
Second row back row. But I think what you say is if there's any question, well, if you're not massively motivated individual, you're going to struggle going to Toulon from what we hear about the setup there. And when they did win their three back-to-back titles, it was because of, you had Bakis, Botha, Johnny Wilkinson and Matt Gitto.
Gitto, Rousseau, Carl Heymans.
And Carl Heymans, yeah.
So you had... where I think the difference is, they still have unquestionable stars right throughout the team, but they don't have... Those guys were stars and they were leaders as well. And I look at this team and I look at Nonu, Radrada, Peterson, Ashton, who are all stars and they've done huge things.
They're not going to grab a team by the scruff of the neck, though, are they?
Multiple World Cups with them, but they're not leaders in the
same
manner.
They're not going to say training is optional.
Yeah, and do you know the other thing as well? Like, you look at the pack, the guys you mentioned, like Ali Williams and Bakis Botha, I mean, they could win games at 80% because of their experience. Whereas Samu Manoa, as good as he is, he isn't a world-class international with that level of experience.
He doesn't have anywhere near the same level of experience.
Yeah, he's a very nice player, actually.
No, I know. Just the comparison between what he looked like playing against Scarlets and what I remember of him when he was playing for Northampton.
And I wonder if that's kind of a scheme thing as well and how Northampton would deploy him.
It's more than that. It's just like, at the very least, when he has the ball and he's running forward, he should be hard to stop.
Yeah.
What has happened?
Mm.
And it could potentially be that there isn't that discipline, there isn't the training, strength and conditioning, and there you go.
But they are through again.
Yes, again.
So last year they snuck through as the lowest score in the eighth place. They're not... in eighth place, that honour goes to Saracens, but they're probably the most disappointing of the teams that have gone through, I would say. And they go, as we just mentioned, to Munster, and Munster, in my eyes, are decent favourites for that one.
Scarlets, however, wow, having lost their first two games to qualify top of the pool is amazing.
They are super dangerous too.
I don't think a team has done that, lost their opening two games.
Probably not, yeah.
It's... on that really... I was there in Llanelli in round two when they had that howling wind and rain defeat to Bath. I would never have thought that they would be the same team that's served up what they've served up the last couple of weeks.
So just tell me then, what are the matchups for the quarters?
We'll get into that in a bit.
Yeah, we'll run through that at the end.
But Ken Owens was absolutely outstanding.
There's not predictions.
Well, yeah, there's no real... We're not going to predict Anglo-Welsh because... We just simply don't know.
Okay.
Ken Owens was absolutely amazing. It was so tense. It was awesome. But it was, as much as we talk about the Scarlets' attack, their defence was huge, absolutely huge. And in Ty Byrne, who everyone seems to be talking about at the minute, just my advice to any side playing against Ty Byrne is just don't form a ruck near him. And I think we should when Scarlets are playing, I think we should refer to it as the burnover, not the turnover. He's that good. What an engine that guy's got. And did you hear Cubby Boy afterwards? Wales is Cubby Boy.
Yeah, he's been called up, hasn't he?
He was asked, where were you when Scarlets last made a quarter final? And Cubby Boy goes, it was 11 years ago. I was 15. I was probably underage drinking.
So, let me think, when was their last quarter final then?
11 years ago.
11 years ago. That wasn't the one in Nottingham, was it?
2006.
Nottingham, Stephen Jones takes a penalty. No, Tim Stimson takes a penalty. That's in the City Ground at Nottingham. Bounces on one post, then the crossbar, then trickles over, and that's it. Game to Leicester.
Was that a quarter final?
I think, it's in the knockouts. Yeah. Either a quarter or a semi.
I think because it's normally at someone's ground in a quarter.
Yeah, so that's why it's in the Forest, in the City Ground. In Nottingham.
So 5, 6,
So
I know they beat Bath with Stephen Jones at one point. I don't know if that was a pool game.
I'm trying to think, maybe it would be.
Here we go. No, so quarterfinals. It was 2007.
Did they go out to lose? Maybe
they hosted Munster and beat Munster.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, beat them 24-15. This was so they then went through to the semi-final at Leicester, at the Walker Stadium.
There you go.
Yeah,
made more those things.
Yeah, and it was Stephen Jones kicking for Llanelli, and kicking for Tigers was
Tim Stimson,
Andy Goode.
What? Are you sure?
check that last one. I can read.
One thing from this game I liked. And now people,
hang on a minute. We need to do some further digging on this.
Tim Stimson was the guy when they won. He kicked the winning points when they one of the years when Leicester won it, didn't he?
Right. Carry on with the podcast.
Doesn't matter. I really like this. So there was one bit of refereeing. Wayne Barnes always gets loads of stick. I find if you look on Twitter, when Wayne Barnes is officiating any game involving a Welsh side, they love to hate him.
Okay.
On Twitter, it's Twitter, isn't it?
Okay, everyone hates everyone.
Everyone hates everyone on Twitter. If you tackle someone, so anyway, tackle, that is not a maul. So you then looking at me and screaming maul? No, that means it's a tackle, okay? So there's now too many penalties in a row. If it continues, someone goes to go. Right, so he's just had a word with Aaron Shinger and Ken Owens and said too many penalties, blah, blah, blah. But he's also gone, stop shouting at me, right? Just end that. If I say it's that, it's that. And I like that about him. And then, check out what he does. He walks over to Mar Nonu.
I'm going to go and speak to him as well. Yeah. But you need to speak to your players about too many penalties now. Okay? 12.
Ken Owens chooses 12. Not to argue.
Let's make it really clear. You come and ask for a yellow card, you get one. Okay, understand?
Yep. Nice.
Oh, there you go. Have that.
I like that.
What I was going to say, that's very much like Phil's Jeopardy thing.
Yeah.
Double Jeopardy law.
Right. If you tell me to go to the TMO, I'll go. If you're wrong, you're getting a yellow card.
So, I've just been doing a bit digging. I found the clip of Tim Stimson landing his kick. 2002. Does that mean?
2002.
Yeah. It's a bit older than that one.
It is a bit older than that one.
A little bit.
Was that Tigers versus Llanelli?
It was, yeah. And it was in the City Ground.
Right, okay.
Not Walker Stadium.
Ah.
I think. Oh, I don't know.
How good was that Wayne Barnes?
That is very good.
That was brilliant.
That's how it should be. Yeah.
Yes. Wayne Barnes understands and embodies that, how essential it is for the respect the ref.
Mm,
and he doesn't tolerate the chops in, of which there is more and more and more.
Yeah.
And the ref mic is highlighting that. So I really love that he did that. He was the guy, and it reminded me, Wayne Barnes, it was an Australia-New Zealand game last year. Do you remember, did you see that Nick Phipps screamed, surely that was a yellow, and he reversed the penalty that he'd just given to Australia. He said, right,
good
penalty.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah, I like that. I like having that, however you want to use it, but I assume that falls under like unsporting conduct, and you can just, it gives the referees a bit
of, you do what you want when you ref.
Yeah, gives the referees a bit of flexibility.
Although
to,
I guarantee
to
Wayne Barnes, as cool as he is not as much fun as JP Doyle, who is brilliant on the beers.
He was good fun.
One
on the
of
beers.
The most fun people in the entire pub on the beers.
Wayne Barnes is a good guy.
No, I'm sure he is, but he's not going to be as much fun as JP Doyle on the beers.
They're both top.
Well, there's only one we find out.
They're both top.
Let's go.
I'll go for a drink with Wayne Barnes, and I'll get a little scorecard out, and we'll see where we go.
Right. Well, listen. When we come back in just a second, JP is going to be using his new mantra again and again. I'm sure.
Downfall 2018
might get mentioned after this quick message. Welcome back. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. We've rounded up the European Champions Cup round 6. We know the quarterfinalists. We're going to get into the quarterfinal matchups in a little bit. But let's take a break and look at the international squads with the Six Nations just a couple of weeks away.
Yeah.
Can get really excited about this. It is the most wonderful time of the year, isn't it? It's better than the autumn.
No, I think Six Nations is better.
No, Six Nations is better.
Six Nations is is better in terms of the competition, maybe. I now prefer the autumn because I get to see the smaller nations play, and you get these funny combinations of weekends and games and all sorts.
You do still get the smaller nations because you get the...
the regional... by the way, boys, we've been invited to a competition. Do you want to know which one it is?
Yes.
The Tier 2 nation. It's a Tier 2 competition.
Tier 2 competition?
Yeah.
Well, we've already got our Tier 2 tour going to the Tier 2 Six Nations.
I've actually already accepted the offer for you.
It's very good of you.
That's okay. We'll probably do it. Pacific Nations Cup.
Pacific Nations Cup?
Yes.
Where's it being played?
I think there'll be a couple of games in Fiji and places like that.
When?
Next year is when I think we should go. Because it's going to be pretty...
When you say been invited, what does that mean? As if someone's saying, hey, listen, I've spoken to Qantas and...
by someone at one of the unions.
Well, listen, this is actually a perfect time for us just to take a little break here, because we've done it again. We've run into a marathon podcast, and most people's commute is nowhere near as long as this podcast is going to be. What about we just take a little break right now? We'll jump onto podcast number 2 when I reckon JB's new favourite mantra might get dusted off.
Hashtag downfall 2018.
Yeah, that one.
That's the one.
What other mantras has JB got?
Hashtag LTBT.
Yeah, LTBP.
I can't remember that.
LTBP.
LGBT.
You're not. It's
oh,
not
but there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Some of my best friends.
Right. So we will. This is the end of this podcast. Thank you for listening. But just to make it manageable and in two nice sized chunks rather than one incredibly mammoth podcast, we're going to hop to part B, when we will be talking about the international squads, doing the quarterfinal matchups for the Champions Cup, and JB will be telling us again why England's wheels are coming off their cart. So thank you very much for listening. Download the next podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.